Harvesting. Ye have heard it spoken of the man who soweth the corn, and that it falleth in many and diverse places. Yet he should also consider he who reapeth the corn, and as he cutteth it with the scythe in the field, there are many which groweth upon tall stalks, and with many grains which are filled. There are others which groweth with many unfilled grains, and there are yet some others which have been blown upon with the wind, so that their grains have been scattered. Yea, and others have been eaten by the fowls of the air. Even as the husbandman reapeth, some too falleth upon the ground and are trodden underfoot. Yea, there are many grains which reacheth not the harvest floor. And so it is with each of ye, that ye groweth like the corn of the field. Be strong and faithful in all things, so thou wilt have many grains, ripened and full. Be fortified against the winds of adversity, that ye may not be blown down. Take heed of the shadows and shun them, for they may be as the fowls of the air. Make sure that thou art grasped by the hand of the reaper, lest she fall by the wayside of the blade and be trampled underfoot. Thus it shall be, ye shall reach the harvest floor. Suspended. And now the pale dawn breaks. I see a bright and glowing morning star. So halfway hung twixt heaven and earth, it beckons with an unseen hand. And as I watch, my soul escapes and joins this bright and glowing star. Within its warm embrace, I too will hang suspended in the morning sky. What will I find and see when thus I view both heaven and earth? All things I'll surely see, but in a different way than ways in which all men have found them so. For heaven sends to these a different thing that's made from light and lights the sky. And so each thing so seen becomes sublime, a way in which all men will thus become suspended in their morning sky. Smallness of self. For it is common among men, for while he may be wise in many things, but foolish in things which concerneth him most, and that he setteth himself apart, believing that he is whole, and in the wholeness of self believeth that all creation was for his purpose. How can it be that one grain of sand in the desert shall stand against another? And that it set itself up against its neighbor? For whilst the time come when each droplet of water in the ocean shall be a part of the other, would it be that the sun would warm only one earth, and that all the worlds shall remain cold? Not realizing that self is made whole only in the unity of all others, does man come unto the commission of his greatest sins. And there are those among men who believeth that each man is like unto himself, yea, so much so, even like the eye of one needle unto another, and that the thread of his life shall pass easily through his brother's eye. No, this is not so, for there are many eyes, each with its own thread, and its way of threading, and cometh unto the task of mending and putting together the cloth and fabric which shieldeth him. For if it be that one man's thread should fitteth another man's eye, then surely would the mending and the wearing come to naught. For no man would know his thread or his needle from his neighbors. Eternal infinity. How well do I leave these things, brought from out dim memory's halls, and born again to live another day. The waters of the brook pass on. Its song has sung itself 10,000 years and changes not one whit. That I have seen upon its face reflections mirrored there from earth and sky. How tall these trees they stand, unbended and unchanged by all the winds which pass their way. For I am but the weaker thing, and hold no power over trees or brooks or stones or hilly mounds that rear their rugged crest against the sky. My flesh is made with light, will pass away, nor shall I tarry here, but come again when all these things are not, and in their place time will erect new trees, new brooks, to water there the roots, and stones for books to play about. For I, the weakling, have this thing that passes not, nor knows no time nor place, where all these things can be and live again. Immortal creation, would I some great God be, and thou would speak to me and say, what of these things of earth, and that as I am a man and liveth so, I liveth not as a God, nor have I achieved immortality. And I will say unto thee that even so, as I have made for thee the earth, and the heavens in which it so exists, For even that I have made of thee a man from the substance of all this, yet thou hast not achieved immortality, nor will it be so until thou joinest me in spirit. For even as the substance of earth and of sky, that I have joined thee in spirit, thou hast not as yet so joined me. And so I cannot sustain thee in this immortality, nor will thou beest immortal until thou art so joined. And even so as we are joined, yet there is another joining, even unto me, for I too must join another, an even greater God, who also sustains me in my immortality. And thus it is, so be it, that thou art man or God, that there must always be the joining in spirit. For in these things surely we must recreate the substance of immortality. Great price. There was the woodsman who dwelt in the forest with his wife, that she did bear him a son, and he grew up to be a stalwart lad, strong of heart and clear of eye. Now it came to him as he slept and in a vision that he saw a lustrous gem, a pearl of great and wondrous size. So it came to pass that I must go upon the face of all lands and cross the rivers and the seas thereof, so that he might seeketh out this priceless pearl. Yet none he asked, and all he saw knew not of such a gem. And so it was that he did come where stood a great and wondrous temple, that sitting there within the lofty pillared hall were many of the great and wise old men. And each did proffer him a jewel of wealth, a jewel of power, or a jewel of the many things that are of earthly desire. Though he saw them thus in all their blazing glory, he liked them not. For as he touched them, all did crumble from his touch. And so he crieth out in anguish and despair, and fleeth from the moated palace walls. Now once again beneath the forest shade, he did seek to wet his anguished brow, and slack his thirst in shaded pool. But ere his lips did touch the cooling waters mirrored there, within his heart he saw reflected there a great and beauteous pearl. And as he looked in wondrous awe, he saw that words were written there, the words that would remain unto him the lasting glory of all time. For these were simply peace of mind. mock not. Mock me not, for in thy mockery there begins the image of thine own self. Be not vain, for surely vanity must be washed away with the tears of remorse. Be not selfish, lest the things thou covet and hold with thyself become as burrs and pierce thy flesh. Be not too meek, lest thou be trampled, neither too strong, lest the winds of the adversity uproot thee. And as the reed, always yielding to the better way. Be not ambitious that thou should be a ruler or king, for surely as thou doest this, thy statues and graven images become thy tombstone. Be not wishful, for wishfulness is a sister of hope, and cometh not unto thy house until first the threshold of faith is crossed. Be not fault-finding, for each man and beast, fish and fowl, all carry their own bag of faults. And is there one among us whose bag is the largest? Be not slothful, for the spiders of indifference shall weave thee in a web and blind thee tightly, and thy lifeblood can be thus drained from thee. Be courageous, but only unto the end of thine own sword of wisdom. And if thou exceedest the length and the peril of thine own sword, thou shalt be cut down by thine adversary. Be kind unto all those who need kindness, but remembering always that kindness, like a beautiful gem, needs not the luster of thine own personality to make it shine. Be charitable unto those who are heart-stricken, and if thou do not so do, thy guilt will be far heavier than all the gold which thou might possess, and can well be as a millstone around thine own neck. Ageless time, and so the crested wave doth rise again, and crashing falls upon the sands of time. Its crusted foam, a flame of white, its countless bubbles, each a life, lived one brief span. And formed from out the countless seas of past, lived one brief time, then gone again. And from the substance of itself, reformed anew, and thus these waves do form, each one an age, and formed from out the depths where throb the countless wings of heaven, each beating with its pulse, eternally a song unheard, yet deep within the hearts of all. This pulse beats steady, and with the light that leads all men from out the crested wave, which beats so relentlessly upon the sands of time. and leading him thus forth will show the shining way, a way as yet untrod, nor is it marked for any man. This path that leads him up and down, and far away the ocean's din thus fades, the afterlife becomes the hinterland. The newer life so reaches out like mother's arms and then unfolds, and then the radiant rainbow hues of heaven become the texture. Its texture thus becomes its way of life, its warp and woof, a pattern woven with the stars, a background radiant. Wordless words. How well he speaks when with his tongue he speaks the words that all men understand. And words like knights that joust our fancy pleasures, or merrily lead us down a glade, a winding way far up the hill where sunshine meets the earth, and wedded there the songs of birds, the wedding march. Our words, they too are fairy things with gossamer wings, a joy to find a nectared cup, ambrosia deep within our sprightly way is but a change that finds us anywhere from dawn to dusk with words. Yield not to mighty powers wielded by some clashing sword, nor can our words be stayed by heaven's wrath, the fury of a lashing storm from out the skies will meet us with its challenge, and in the dying rain will wing again a poem of victory. Yes, words can be as tranquil as a lake which sleeps unruffled, held close by mountain arm. Wanton is the breeze which dares disturb this rest. For who can say the blue within its depth is but a stolen thing and borrowed from a cloudless sky? A word can then begin and seal a lover's kiss. A word unspoken, oft borne on wings of thought, brings biteness from despair. A sigh, though not a word, and wordless as it is, becomes a sermon eloquent more than all things said. And thus it is, from out the multitudes of things which makes the earth each way of life, each one a language all its own, the rustling leaves, the sighing breeze, the chirp of fledglings in their nest, the silence of the rocky hills, soft fallen snow, will speak again when comes the spring and sunlight sets it free. This stillness then becomes the shouting brook. Oh, words and wordless things, a countless thousand, a babbling cadent tongues.